You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Salutations. This is the New Old Heads. Welcome. How y'all doing? This is DJ J Diff. In the house today, we got my guy Longevity.
What's up, man?
What's going on?
Salutations.
Indeed. We got my guy Jay Moore in the house. How you doing, brother?
Hello, Terry. How you doing? That's for our old school listeners.
Right.
They know what's up with that.
Yes, sir. And then we got a special guest in the house, Mr. Let them know who you are. Jay Brookins.
Jay Brookins.
Yes, sir.
How y'all do? What's up with you, black man? Trying to get like you.
Hey, man, we just in here doing what we do, you know?
Another Tuesday.
Yeah, smooth, man. Smooth. Yeah, man. So this is the first time you've been on with us post-Treese.
Yes, indeed.
You know, have you been able to decompress at all?
Bro, I'm so glad that Treese is over. I am so glad OJ didn't went and left the country.
I know.
On me.
I see him. He's out, you know, communing with nature and the animal world.
Bro, yeah. I'm so tired. I was so tired. I have decompressed though. You guys got to, I feel like, enjoy it. Like,
no, I never enjoyed
you
it.
You didn't?
I never enjoyed
no?
Treese.
Bruh, I saw two people. I went and saw Ninth. And that was a movie. That was perfect.
That's good.
That made it all worthwhile. And then I went to go see Bless when they performed. So I don't really get to enjoy it, but some of the scenes I saw and what I heard from people's experience made me feel really, really good about what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, glad that it came back. And man, to watch Ninth rock and like all those people out there watching Ninth, it was just like, it was crazy. It was probably a, you know, a top five moment.
It's like
Treese.
A party.
Yeah.
Special Ed says that NWA started a new wave of destruction in rap. King Crooked says art imitates life. Who has a better point? Do either of them have a point? That's the question.
I'll just be honest, man. This is a take I've heard more than once from people on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Who were getting, who, and like, because it took the spotlight.
Yep.
From New York and just was like, let's put it over here.
Listen.
To New York.
Mm-hmm. And it's so fitting because you got on this Los Angeles Kings.
I'm definitely here repping, but which I'm not. You know, like I said, I'm from right in the middle, just like everybody else on the show. But, you know, I just remember, of all people, you know, and he had his own stuff going on, Afrika Bambaataa saying the same thing at one point. Look, NWA was like, and I heard someone else say this, so I'm not going to take credit for it. Please don't give me credit for it. It might have been, I think, Chris Rock. It was like the British invasion for hip hop when NWA came out. Because there's little pockets of regional stuff that was popping off. But when NWA, Straight Outta Compton, Easy Does It came out, it was like you couldn't act like this wasn't happening. You could be mad they weren't from Brooklyn or Queensbridge, but they had no illusion. They were not trying to do anything mainstream. You know, there was no reason, honestly, why those records sold millions of copies at the time they did, because they weren't getting played on the radio, even the clean versions. And the thing is, NWA would rewrite their songs.
They had a song called Radio.
Yeah, but they would, like, they Gangster Gang, they rewrote, you know, because I'm the type of brother that's built to last. We had some in the present, some in the past. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and if you know the real way it goes. You know, like, that's the version I initially heard on Magic 108 in St. Louis. And then I went to basketball camp and some cats had the tape. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is something else. You know, and
how about that?
I've shown love to Special Ed on the show. You know, there was probably a little era where Special Ed was probably my favorite rapper.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But then when that NWA hit, let me tell you something. You can't act like you. It was one of those things you couldn't act like you didn't see.
Come on, man.
You know, and so I don't think it brought destruction. I always say that NWA, their first album,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, even parts of Easy, like, it was like they were telling you, like, look, black people, I know what you're doing on the East Coast, but this is what's happening in L.A. right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what's going on here is completely different. Like, I saw an interview with Ed Lover when he went to L.A. for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and he had like a red jacket, and Eazy-E had to say, all right, man, we're gonna buy you some new clothes here,
mm-hmm.
because you got to put that card. You can't just put it in the car. You got to put it in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of East Coast just jealousy when you saw how big those guys got just being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't, there wasn't anything where like, hey, let's go ahead and put on and dance a little bit and be this and that. And so maybe we can be palatable to not only white people a little bit, but to, you know, black people who, you know, are still working through a level of respectability politics.
Mm-hmm.
Here's NWA just being unabashedly themselves and winning. There was jealousy there. You can't say there wasn't.
Let me play the clip of Special Ed, and then we'll talk further on this, because I actually have it. It's a video. I thought it was an article. So
NWA or Wu-Tang Clan?
Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Wu-Tang, you know, children.
Besides that, man, Wu-Tang was dropping knowledge and positivity.
Right.
You know, NWA brought the age of destruction.
Damn. Jesus Christ.
NWA brought the age of destruction to our children and our culture. I'm going to tell you what it is. That's where it started.
Wow.
That's where the agenda started, and that's where the destruction began. When the president sent them that letter, NWA ran away with it in such a way where it was like, for real?
Word.
That's all we gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, it was genius for them, and they made millions of dollars off of it, but look at what it caused.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That's hating.
That's definitely hating. And then when you compare NWA and Wu-Tang Clan, Wu-Tang talked about the same stuff. It just sounded different. And I'm tired of having to have that conversation with everybody about the different nuances of how things are
presented
to you. Mm-hmm. The content is the exact same, except that I'm being blatantly in your face with it, NWA. And then
they're saying it out loud.
Yeah, Wu-Tang is kind of hiding it in the applesauce or in more words, so to speak.
So doesn't that make it different though?
No, it doesn't. Because he just talked about how Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, right?
No.
No, it's not for the kids.
Okay, I know.
We like to say, because
that's a great slogan.
Got on stage and said that, but Wu-Tang was not for the kids.
That's their slogan. That's what they talked about. Mm-hmm. But NWA, they was in your face, they was real, and they told you why we're in your face and why we're real, because we're telling you exactly what goes on in these neighborhoods we live in and what we see happening outside our front doors. And again, it goes to the point of, we're not telling you to do this stuff, but I am reporting live to you from the hood, and this is what's going on.
Look, NWA had a song called Dope Man. It wasn't celebrating the dope man. It was talking about beating a dope man up.
Come on,
because of what he was doing to the community. Like, you got to understand, when you listen to these records, these are political records.
Okay.
When a lot of, and look, let's just keep it real. I mean, we had Public Enemy on the East. You know what I'm saying? You had some people, but there was still a lot of party and dance on the East. And then here comes NWA talking about not just like, oh, the police are doing this wrong. It was like, F the police. This is what they're doing exactly.
Wasn't Coogee Rap doing the same thing East Coast?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, road to the riches. But, you know, like I said, we forget, like I said, people got to listen to Dope Man. Dope Man is like, they was talking about beating a dope man up for what he was doing to the community. These were political records.
Yeah.
What is the importance? You can chime in if you guys.
No, I'm just thinking about this, man. I mean, this is an age old thing that people always said. You know, even wasn't Common saying something like that on his first joint that kind of blew up. I used to love her. That was like the.
But that was because
that was hate too.
Yeah, they was kind of
that was hate.
They was kind of beefing a little bit then.
No, that was before that. That's why they was beefing. Yeah, that's why we was. Yeah. She went to the West Coast and now she effed up. That's what MAC-10's issue was.
Yeah, and now that hearing you say that about if you really listen to these records and like how they were coming, like man, that brings a different. A perspective to it, in my opinion, because at first he's like, maybe this dude right, maybe that was the beginning of the destruction or something like that. But when you say it like that, like, man, have you listened to Dope Man and like actually listened and heard that these are political records? Like, there's a message behind it that's not the most, like, it's not the most blatant thing that people will be drawn to. We see gangsters, we see, you know, Bloods and Crips, and we just automatically draw to that. We're not listening and saying, oh, these guys are, like, giving you kind of like the CNN of the hood, which I've always kind of felt. I hate that, but you know what I mean? Like, you bringing up that perspective is kind of making me, you know, the wheels turn a little bit. Like, maybe this dude is a little bit wrong on that. You know what I'm saying?
Not a little bit wrong. He's all the way wrong. Like I said, it's nothing but hate. Like I said, I love Special Ed. Shout out to him. But he's just wrong. You're just wrong. No.
But I mean,
can't say that.
And the thing is,
but is he?
No,
but is he really 100% wrong? I mean, you guys are looking at it from a very like you broke it down, right?
Yeah.
And so from the breakdown that you said, I agree with what you're saying. But is there something to be said about how it's delivered?
This is before when they made these records, Stratocomp. There was no. I understand everybody who came after, but there was no commercial. Lism and gangsterism at that time, not in the music, mm-hmm. because if you wanted to be commercial, you do. I mean, and this is no diss to them. You do what, you know, Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince are doing. You do what Eric B and Rakim are doing. You know, there wasn't even a commercial component to Public Enemy, because quite honestly, their very first album, Bum Rush the Show, it wasn't a hit for Def Jam. You know what I'm saying? So you still want to do kind of the colorful, happy gold chain rap, and I'm not dissing it because I love that. But when you talk about what NWA did, these were supposed to be almost like, if you can compare it to anything, almost like Rudy Ray Moore, maybe Red Fox Records. You know, you'd listen to them, you know, in the basement after all the Christians left your party. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, these weren't going to be things that you put on the radio or you shoot videos for. That came much later. Mm-hmm. You know, like that NWA record was. The first video never got played on MTV or BET. There was a video for Straight Outta Compton that most people have only seen on YouTube or they watched on the box back in the day.
I promise I've seen that on MTV.
No. MTV to this day has never shown. Like, they show it as far as
the box.
You show it on the box.
Did I see that on the box? It was grainy.
MTV.
My box was grainy.
Mine was too. It was on UHF. But yeah, so they wouldn't need the first single they had out representing Nick Town. They wouldn't even play it on television. Mm-hmm. You know,
my brother had all of these albums though. So like I was real familiar with NWA before I even started seeing them on TV, just because IRC was in my neighborhood record store.
Okay.
So all of that stuff went to IRC, and if it was at IRC, my brother was bringing it to the house. So we had all of that stuff early, and I remember sneaking to listen to this stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, from a surface level, yeah, it's bad, it's raunchy, it's something you don't want to listen to around your parents, you know what I'm saying? But in the same token, when we talk about having some sense and being able to listen with, you know what I'm saying, and be able to take from it rather than feed it, essentially, that was kind of one of those things, at least for me, so to speak. Not for everybody, but I can't sit back and say that once they came out, that was the destruction of music, because I didn't only listen to NWA. It'd be different if everything I listened to from point on was gangster, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, F the police stuff. And I never listened to Tribe Called Quest or De La Soul. They was all out at the same time.
And I loved them all.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's the
thing. So you can't sit up and say that this one group was the end all be all of music. And all of these other groups succeeded just as well as they did.
Yeah. So.
Well, okay. Yeah, I don't know the answer. I was just posing the question. Yeah. Like, I mean, you guys were definitely around listening to NWA in real time, and I wasn't. So there's that.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Look, I just remember like when you would watch your MTV Raps back in the day, and when they finally NWA finally got a video that would pass standards and practices. Which is how you get a video on television. It was called Express Yourself, you know.
Yeah, and it's when they was riding around doing an interview with Fab Five Freddy in the back of that like a flatbed truck or something.
Yeah, but and he had to like do the signs up so the people wouldn't.
You think about the song Express Yourself, which was a single. Like, you got to understand, there are songs on Straight Outta Compton where there's no cussing at all.
Yeah.
And it's not the clean version. That's just a version, like, If It Ain't Rough, which is basically a Ren solo album, a song. There's no cussing on that.
There's no cussing on DLC's album at all.
Other than the grand finale.
The last song.
That's with the rest of NWA on it. You know, there's no cussing on Express Yourself.
Nah.
They did whole songs on there where there was no cussing.
He's talking about Don't Smoke Weed on here.
Yeah.
And it came out with The Chronic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's progression.
So what about
different strokes?
So what about his argument about, you know, the being targeted by a president and stuff like that?
No, he's talking about when he got the letter from the FBI.
Right.
I mean,
the president and his goons put the drugs in the hood any damn way. So
yeah, look, if we really looking at it.
Come on, man.
Mm. You want to talk about destruction?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
just say no, I think all of that was fabricated.
I mean, yes, this is all the Reagan era stuff. Yeah, for sure.
NWA is getting a bad, they just got a bad rap, man. It's just so much.
But why? I guess that's what I'm saying here. Like, to drive the point home, that's the only thing that we really haven't really fully touched on is why does NWA get such this horrible bad rap if we all agree that Special Ed is
because they were, they gave you the image of the black people that you're supposed to fear. Mm-hmm. The dudes from the hood that are up to no good, so to speak. And
there's no dancing in the videos. Yeah,
you just scared because they black and having a little something.
They don't have any color. I mean, they have no colorful clothes on. They wearing all black. You
what's
know.
NWA stand for? Like, well, that's that's one thing.
They weren't happy about certain situations. Let's just say that.
Even when you talk about F the police, the one of the lines that stands out to me to this day is black police showing out for the white cop. That's a political statement.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can take whatever you want to take from that song, but you know, and that's what John Singleton when he
put it in the movie.
They put it in Boys in the Hood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, like I said, I think there was a lot of hate on the East Coast from what NWA was doing, because like I said, it took one of these spotlights and took it completely off of New York and switched it all the way over to California, and it stayed over there for a minute.
Yeah.
It did.
Biggie had to acknowledge it. I'm trying to sell records like Snoop.
There you go.
Well, okay.
Shout out to NWA, boy.
Yeah, you know.
Man, shout out to Special Ed. I mean, I got to watch the rest of the interview you did.
Yeah, I'm curious, like, what else he said.
The NWA family tree is stupid, though.
Yeah.
It is.
And I don't want to, like, people do this to us on a regular basis, too. Like, I'm very curious, like, what else he said that, you know, maybe there's more to it than that.
That sound bite.
Yeah, you know. So.
That's just a clip that went viral. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And who knows if it's chopped up or anything, but, but still.
Yeah. I just hate how he tried to use Wu-Tang as the poster child for positive rap.
I was like, first of all, dog, that was like 5 years later.
It's not did you listen to Only Built for Cuban Links?
I think he was just kind of put on the spot.
Did you hear the Spike Bat skit?
Yeah.
Is he dead?
What you mean, is he dead?
Out to Wu-Tang though.
Yeah,
straight up. I rock with both of them.
I mean, we needed that album too.
Exactly.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into this other one that's kind of fresh and new. Did you guys see the President Biden slip up when he was with MC Light and LL Cool J? He's like, he said boy man, you know, real quick. And I guess I should probably preface this a little bit better.
LLJ Cool J, by the way, that boy's got, that man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's been.
Yeah, he was giving a nod to the 50th anniversary and in addressing.
Off the cuff or just.
It's him reading the teleprompter, but I think off the cuff, he was just like, yeah, this boy's got, he said, this boy, man's got biceps that are bigger than my legs or something like that. So, I don't know.
It was funny to me, even though I know people want to keep me upset about this.
So, that's going to be my question. Is this Joe Biden's, like, deep-rooted racism coming out? You know what I mean? Or is this just, like, an old man who can't remember anything else? Just trying to be funny and then
we
got to
understand. He's just up here having his senior moments.
Yeah, this is old man Joe in the flesh.
And I tell people, look, I was not excited to vote for Joe Biden. But I tell you what, he's an old man trying to get into heaven now, and we need to get as much out of him as possible. And if it takes me having to vote for him again, damn it, I just got to do what I got to do.
Listen, man, Democratic Party needs to probably find somebody more suited.
You can do better.
Yeah, but man, I'm not taking offense to that, honestly.
Would you take offense? Would you guys take offense to this if it was Trump doing the same thing?
Yeah, the thing. I probably wouldn't, man. Honestly.
No, because you know Trump will say he'll be like, "Hey, look at my African American over there." Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
that probably sounds a little more suspect than
my African American.
I might call somebody my boy. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that I'm trying to belittle you or nothing like that. But
Trump was on Method Man's album. Like, he's actually got a little bit of more history with
hip hop. Yeah, he does. Yeah,
this guy's got no history.
Calling somebody your African American.
Yeah, he's wild.
That's a little different.
I don't trust none of them, to be honest with you. I don't take offense to what Sleepy Joe is talking about, but I ain't paying him no mind, no how, you know.
I mean, he tried.
He tried.
Failed. To me, it just sounded like he was like gaffing. Like he was just trying to be cool and for, like yeah. for the hip hop.
LLJ Cool J.
Yeah, he's like LL. Cool J, or
if you ain't yeah. vote for him, you ain't black, like all that stuff, bro. Like, yeah. This dude's a wacko. Much. Get out of here.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Democratic Party really needs to get together and figure something else out, because Trump, if he's able to run by the time it comes time to run, will probably win again. I'm going to just put that out there because.
Oh, no. That's not even a bold claim at this point.
I'm just saying.
Is Dr. Cornel West, is he running?
He's running.
He's
I think a Democrat, but I don't think he's going to have enough. You know, he's not going to have enough push for anything.
Just like what's his name,
DeSantis,
Larry Elder. He's right.
Man, Republicans are having debates just to pick the vice president at this point.
Ain't nobody that's about the right going to be president, bro. Like it's just let's forget about that.
Nah. Yeah.
Ain't nobody that's about the right is ever going to be president of the United States of America.
Well, no, because you have to. I don't know, man. Like, you know, it used to be something where it'd be like, yeah, let's get behind somebody. But now I'm just like, this is all entertainment to people.
I mean, we're just throwing slop at the wall.
Yeah, we're just seeing what's going to happen. And we need to elect somebody that's going to make the other side really mad. And then the next 4 years, we elect somebody else that's going to make. It's not even, I find most politicians to be the ones they put on TV all the time, to be remarkably unserious people. You know, right. I mean, like, right. You know, for all the things I could say about Trump, you know, I talked to a friend of mine who's a Republican, you know what I'm saying? And I said, look, my biggest problem is like he didn't really seem to be into the work.
Yeah.
Like that's for all the goofy insults he had for people and the fact that, you know, he was doing on like kind of like these comedy tours or whatever that he was doing when he'd show up to different towns. It's like, I wish he was more serious. I wish he was more into the actual work. You know, I feel like if he was even a little bit more, there's no way Joe Biden would have won if he was just more into the actual work of being president.
Which is why I'm happy that he wasn't into the actual work, because I don't think we need anybody that much to the right of what a Democrat is.
Well, it's probably about to happen again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so
that's his life, I guess.
Yeah, so shout out to Joe and LL Cool J and MC Light and whatever.
And she was catching flack for defending him. And I saw
who was catching flack.
MC Light.
How was she?
Yeah, and people were, you know. And then, of course, you know, I think the interesting.
Because she was like, I was there. It wasn't as bad, you know.
Yeah.
And the dynamics, too, like the people in the comments are, you know, calling, you know, them names for defending Joe Biden and everything like that and stuff like that. And then you have the Republicans that come in or the MAGA people. I don't know what the difference between
there's
MAGA.
There's a difference. The guy I was talking I feel like is a Republican. There's a difference between the people who wear the red hats and the people who are just like, I remember what Reagan did for this country. Like, those are two different people.
Mm, yeah, they're all evil, though.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those people will come in and chime in and be like, we'll see.
Yeah.
All of a sudden have the intelligence to understand what these things are.
Now they're like, see, racism. And it was like, well, what about you burning books about Jackie Robinson? Yeah. And it was like, well, that's different.
Yeah. Only this racism counts.
Yeah.
No, well, that's fair, I guess. All right, let's run the partners real quick.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Welcome back to the New Old Heads podcast, where we talk about whatever we want.
Damn straight.
Like being old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A new old head.
New. We're new old. This one got a decent amount of votes. So did anybody see the interview? It was kind of like, it was Timbaland and Pharrell on stage, and they were kind of like having
a dinner or something.
I don't know exactly. I didn't see it. But they were on stage, and they kind of had like a back and forth about who had the better production with Jay-Z. Was it Pharrell or Timbaland? And they kept saying each other. You know, they're being gracious. Yeah, so that's the question. Who had the better catalog with Jay-Z overall?
Just
now, I have them pulled.
Just
yeah,
Blaze.
Well, of course. But
I mean, you pulled them up. Let's go.
I got them pulled up. So let's look at these are some songs produced. Well, these are the Neptunes. Hold on.
I mean, the Neptunes. I mean,
do we want to consider the Neptunes?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
because pretty much the songs are not produced by Pharrell, but by the Neptunes.
All right, so I Just Want to Love You. Okay. That's off Banger. The Dynasty Rock La Familia. Excuse Me, Miss from Blueprint 2.1.
Banger.
That was a, yep. I Know from American Gangster.
Spire. Classic. Spire.
Yeah.
Allure from the Black Album.
There we go.
We talked about that. Yep. Change Clothes and Go.
But I liked it.
It was good.
It was, you know, for a first.
It was good, but when it came out, it was jamming.
It kind of set the tone, you know.
It was definitely a big hit, like a record when it came out, though. Mm-hmm. La 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 from the Bad Boys 2 soundtrack.
That one was cold to me.
Yeah, that song went hard.
That's not Jay-Z was smoking the lot. That's not that song, is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Okay. Ambitious.
For some reason, I thought it was called something
red
different.
Light.
Gotta Have It from Watch the Throne Deluxe.
Ambitious, is that on there?
We'll see.
Okay.
F It All. Or excuse me, F All Night.
That's a song Jay-Z really could have kept.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but it was just like, it was one of those songs that has not aged well and we don't need.
Okay. So Ambitious.
That's one of my favorites.
Blueprint 3.
Yeah.
And In Please featuring Young Chris.
You need to start out from the roof to reach the trunk. Just put the trunk in the roof in the trunk.
Yeah. No.
Blueprint 3 got some jams on it.
It does.
It just
really short, man.
Blueprint 2. You talking about Blueprint 2.
I'm talking about the one with like all the instruments on.
Oh yeah, it's three. Yeah.
That tour was cold,
jams, but, bro. But
that was on
tour. Inward Please was kind of a joint too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
It was.
So yeah, that's 10 joints.
Okay.
For some reason I thought there was more, but
I feel like there was more. Jay-Z did a joint on Pharrell's album too.
You talking about
Girl or something? It's called Girl or something.
Nah, it was
I just love it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's not going to spark the algorithm.
It might.
Yeah, that joint. That was good, though.
I was jamming.
Yeah, that was.
Well, that's joint. Excuse Me, Miss. No, not Excuse Me, Miss. That's
Front. Remember that?
Yes,
that
was Front was super record. Dope. Actually, that's probably my favorite record from them together.
Really?
Yeah, I really like Front a lot.
Over, like, So Ambitious?
I don't even, couldn't even tell you what that sounds like.
Front is cold.
It is cold, but man, something about, that ain't my favorite.
Yeah, I think too. Front might be my favorite one from them too, personally.
My favorite fun one, if we go fun.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know.
All right, let's bring up these Timberland records. All right, so let's see
what Timbo's got over here. We're still getting comments on the Timberland. All right, so Timbaland has 12 songs on here. What's going on with this mic stand? All right. So first one is Big Pimpin' featuring UGK.
Okay. Certified classic.
Yep. Suit and Tie featuring, that's a Justin Timberlake featuring Jay-Z.
I hate that record.
I don't think it was cool, but it ain't nothing.
That's a record where I was like, this was a record of its time and the time is over.
Yeah.
Okay. Holy Grail from Magna Carta.
Holy Grail was cool. It set the tone.
Yeah. Somebody give me that melody real quick.
I don't even know. I didn't.
No, because remember Justin, he's like, into the clothes of my back.
Okay.
And I let you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No,
okay.
It's one of those songs. It was of the time.
Somebody splice up all of us singing together for a clip. That would be pretty awesome.
No, wouldn't that be awful?
It's Hot. Some Like It Hot.
I don't even know what that is.
It's from Volume 3.
Yeah, it must be a throwaway.
Yeah.
No, it was.
Some Like It Hot. How's that go? I need you to sing it.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Hold on. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even think of that song.
Some Like It Hot. Hold on. Let me just pull
can
it up.
Can we do here. Like a 5 second?
Let me just pull up. Some Like It didn't come up. Didn't even come up when I Googled it. That says something, right? It's Hot. Some Like It Hot. It's going to be an ad, probably.
Yeah, wait for that drop.
It's like.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, that was a cool track.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, this is
where he's like,
bro.
I'm $1 million. Who is it? Yeah. 50 Cent? Yeah, okay, yeah. I couldn't remember the name of it. Okay, all right.
That was a bop. Yeah,
that was cool. I like his drum programming on that a lot. Mm-hmm. His classic synthesizer strings when they come in though, that from that entire era just kind of makes me kind of
cringe a little bit.
It's like the ick.
When that beat drop though, it's like,
oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. When that beat drop, it's definitely
that
jamming
hit. That's cool, bro.
But that was always Tim's.
Yeah, you know, I like
his,
that
his,
one.
Him and Pharrell both. All right, Paper Chase featuring Foxy Brown from Hard Knock
Life. I love that record. Can't even front.
1 Minute Man, which is a Missy Elliott joint. So addictive.
Why is that being added?
I know, it's kind of weird.
Because he was just on it.
Yeah, nah. I guess. Come and get me.
Come and get me. Jam.
Yeah, that is a jam.
Okay.
Hola, Jovito.
Hola, Jovito.
Even the whole moment of that album. Yeah. Though, you know what the thing is? That song slaps, but it's the corny song on the album.
I could.
That's the corny song on the blue.
I wouldn't skip it if I played that album right now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't skip it.
I would.
You would?
That's the song I definitely. That's the song I would skip when the blueprint hit.
Let me tell it, and that's gonna be a problem.
I like.
next one, Dirt Off Your Shoulders, Black Album.
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire record, but you know what? That's the corny song on the Black Album. That's the song. Yeah, it goes, but it's just like the song that didn't quite fit with the rest of the theme of the record.
I mean, because it's Tim, bro. Tim
exactly.
Is just, yeah.
Exactly.
It's just.
That's it.
That's just the Tim joint.
Because it's Tim.
It's the Tim. Yep. Tim joint.
Yep. Yeah. Snoopy track.
Put Juvenile on there. what do we think about that?
That one was mid to me.
I never hated it, but I like to play
Snoopy
it.
Snoopy track is mid.
I didn't have a nice system in my car,
me,
so I didn't do nothing with that.
To me, and I did, and I played it all the time. but I felt like at the same time, like it was one of those that it's the Tim effect again. It was just so different. Mm-hmm. It was like you don't never heard any other beat that was like the Snoopy track.
That's
you
true. Know what I mean? That's true.
So Jigga What, Jigga Who.
So certified. Good. So good.
Yeah. Certified.
The originator that still goes. Jazzo finishes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I loved it when they did the unplugged version.
Yeah.
And the last one they have on here is That Your Chick.
Mm-hmm. So tight. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
Man, he just would come out of left field, man.
It's very left field.
Yeah.
So still, who you giving it to?
Pharrell.
Pharrell.
That's a tough one, man.
VA wins. I mean, they both from VA, but.
If we take away the Jay-Z features and the remixes, is just on Jay-Z albums, would it be any different?
No, because Pharrell has. I know Allure and So Ambitious.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's not no Runaway. And
I know Allure is both on American Gangster.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
And the Front's not even on here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably going to have to go with Pharrell.
I got to go with Pharrell.
But at the same time, like I like the fact that Pharrell was just so different, but he wasn't too different.
Mm-hmm.
Tim's stuff was like experimental and it worked and that he's great for that reason, but Pharrell wasn't.
I think Pharrell's was different too. The thing about it is,
who did Venus versus Mars?
He wasn't as.
I think that was Tim.
I don't know. I have to.
Or Hater was.
But at the same time, sometimes you can
that was Tim
because they were both very like drum centric and percussion centric. You know, their style was very similar. They're both from VA. They both came up under the kind of the same tutelage as well. So, but
I think they both had a signature style that they kind of ran with. But I think equally, Timberland and Pharrell both have distinctive tones. I feel like Tim probably took more chances.
Yes,
he did. That's exactly what I'm about to say. Like,
you can't.
Pharrell stayed in his bag.
Yeah, he stayed in his lane.
Brought Jay-Z along for the ride.
But you know, they didn't put on here Blue Magic.
Pharrell made Blue Magic.
Oh my God.
Pharrell was in his bag on American Gangster.
He really was. He really
How
was.
How do you leave all Blue Magic?
Well, this must be a crowdsourced Apple Music playlist or something. I don't know. But
yeah, Pharrell. Yeah, I think Pharrell laced him more than Tim did.
I think he's more consistent.
Yeah, he was more consistent, but I'm not going to say that.
But that doesn't mean Tim's
him.
Not great.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But like,
I know. I just have
when
to
we talk about. Listenability and what you want to hear right now. Like I can hop in the car right now and put that Blue Magic on and vibe out.
I think Pharrell stuff has more long-term legs than Timbo's.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when he, it's something that shouldn't work when Pharrell starts singing like the chorus from the In Vogue song on Blue Magic.
Mm-hmm. When I heard it, I was like, I scrunched my face up when I heard it.
Tom Ford,
that's a Timbo track.
Yeah, the Tim, it's not on here either.
Super tight beat though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I always appreciated Pharrell because he just seemed so organic with his stuff. Like you could tell, like there's no quantize on it. It was just like it sounded like somebody was like not even a really good drummer playing drums on his stuff sometimes, but it was very percussive and it was just unique. And the fact that he sang, but he really couldn't sing either. But he's saying good
but
enough.
He was jamming.
But he's still jamming. Like everything's still jammed. Like
yeah,
it's like he's in there coaching like Justin Timberlake and like yeah. You know what I mean. Like and I don't know. Like that.
I think Jay-Z made better songs from Pharrell Neptune's tracks.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He's a truth.
Yeah. Both talented fellas.
And again, we have to give disclaimers on Tim so people don't get any feelings.
They gonna get any feelings anyway.
Tim's R&B bag is untouchable.
That's
oh, yeah.
Untouchable. But we're talking about hip hop.
Oh, but
now if we do Timbo versus Pharrell in the R&B realm, do you think it'd be about
similar? Pharrell has some really dope R&B.
Sure did, bro.
But I kind of think Tim edged him out on that R&B game.
Yeah, because you know what? The thing is, Pharrell would do records that we like, but wound up wouldn't be hits. And this is, you know, and this is a way to wake this in. Rest in peace, Irish Grinstead from 702.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Pharrell gave, or the Neptunes, because, you know, it's when I think Pharrell Neptunes, it's all the same. Gave them two bangers with Star and I Still Love You. And those songs, as great as they weren't hits. Like when Timberland is in his R&B bag, you're going to hear them songs forever.
Yeah, those are hits.
Them Genuine joints.
Those Aaliyah joints. Even the stuff
that
with
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God. Even the stuff with Cheers to You.
Yeah.
With Static Majin and Playa.
But yeah.
So Problem.
Both Tim and Pharrell worked with Justin Timberlake. But I feel like Tim's relationship and music that he put out with him was better, and they were both good.
The stuff that Timberland did on Future Sex Love Songs was out of here.
Yeah, man.
Out of here.
Mash.
I feel like Pharrell's more of the chameleon-esque producer that can come in and really mesh with a project, not pull too far, too much. You know, like, you're going to get Timbo regardless if he was going to be, it's not going to be, you know, you're going to get something kind of weird and out there. Mm-hmm. This is probably, it's going to bang.
You expect
but Pharrell. He's going to bring you into his world.
Yeah.
And then Pharrell just meshes better and he's probably.
For sure.
Yeah.
He's going to blend in, but still be him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tim is a mad scientist, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's both perfect. Man, it's something in the water in VA, man, because everybody from Virginia, when it comes to that production and music game, man, are beasts. I mean, we talking about Real, Missy, Timberland.
Teddy Riley got his feet wet
in VA.
Knots.
Knots.
Ooh, Bink. Now, yeah, we going crazy.
Let's not forget about Bink.
Bink don't like just Blaze.
No.
Yeah, well, we had that conversation. We still get comments on that segment, too.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Will Smith is launching a hip-hop podcast called Class of 88 featuring Rakim, Queen Latifah, and more.
I think them talking about some things that happened back when, you know, back in the day could be really interesting, man. I think that's kind of what makes the Nori podcast, you know, like the Drink Champs thing. When they really start telling stories about stuff that people don't know.
Right.
Like, I think that's like the jewel in those podcasts. I mean, because the rest of the around Drink Champs is super chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get in their bag and start telling you about things that you didn't know about, like, I mean, between Rakim and, you know, like Will Smith, like these dudes probably got the craziest stories for situations that no one probably has a clue about. Like, I think it could be good.
Look, I just saw the clip of, like I said, I can't get through a whole Drink Champs episode, but I just saw a clip with Big Daddy Kane about how Suge tried to sign him. Like, the clip was so good.
Yeah.
You know, and something about Big Daddy Kane's spirit told him when Suge offered him $100,000 to just get on a plane and go home.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm just going to owe you $100,000. I'll mess around and have to be working this off for the rest of my life. And
exactly.
I want to hear stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be above the fray as far as, like, you know, it's going to make it hard for us because we don't have no stories to tell. and nobody's going to come tell us any stories, you know. But at the same time, it's like when you talk about clogging up what it is, all these
I don't know podcasts, if that's even a thing.
I don't think that's not really a thing. You know, I'm not worried about like, oh, Will Smith is going to take some of our light with this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I worry about the people who I run into in the street who will be like, hey, I want to do a podcast too. And they do three episodes and realize it's actually work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just looking for that deal. Yeah. Listen,
Pat McAfee, holler at your boys.
We right here in town, baby.
We right here.
But yeah, I'm excited for this sort of thing because I want to hear those stories that it was like, you know, because on anytime this is like, you know, I've never told nobody this. Like, I love those stories.
Yeah.
I think there's different types of shows. We kind of talked about this before we were even on the show today, but like, we're more of a talk show than like the classical podcast where you have somebody on and you tell a story about something. We're more like a talk show that talks about whatever's going on in hip hop this week or and dives deeper into that, right? This doesn't seem
culturally
like
culturally adjacent.
For sure. Yeah. And this show doesn't seem like it's even in our lane at all. Like, mm-hmm. This is like Will Smith and Rakim and Queen Latifah and, you know,
it's a historian
be,
show.
Yeah, and they're gonna from be the actual talking historians. About it's just like Open Mike Eagle has his type thing that I forget what it's called, but supposed to be really good. I don't listen to podcasts, but it's supposed to be really good. I know. Dang. It's funny I say that, but like, I feel like that's just kind of a different lane. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. where you take somebody and you just like grab all their stories from them. You just tell a bunch of stories as opposed, mm-hmm. you know, just like crime.
Like Questlove stories are always good.
Super good. Yeah.
Like the Questlove Supreme show is different than this lane because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah. you know,
just
interviewing and deep
actually
diving
in there and has these experience with these artists that yeah. he can talk about. Yeah.
And even still, I don't think that this show from 88 or whatever it's called, what would they call it?
Class of 88.
I don't think this would even like infringe on a class of 90 show that would come out. You know what I mean? Because it's all kind of different. So I don't really think that's a thing.
And I think it's something to kind of look forward to be honest with you, because as somebody that was consuming that product back then as a kid, to hear like firsthand experience of what was actually going on behind the scenes is dope to me.
Yeah.
So I would tune in just based off the nostalgia factor.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, man, that's what we missed back in the day. Like, we didn't know what was going on in these guys' lives. Mm-hmm. We just liked their music.
No social media.
No, you know, we don't know about the ins and outs of their personal lives or the interactions they had with other rappers or, right. you know, executives that could be like groundbreaking, but like interesting. And but
people like, who almost signed to this.
Yeah. Almost got, you know, beat up at a club or something like that. Like, we just didn't know that stuff back in the day. That's probably why they made them so tight to us.
Yeah, we didn't realize, my favorite rapper is actually kind of a sucker.
Real, you know, real people. You know, they were like superheroes. Like, nowadays, you know everything about these dudes, and the music doesn't matter anymore.
Listen, if I hear one more thing about Krishan Rock and Blueface and this
insane,
band.
And the thing is, like, it's not even like Blueface got a line of hits. He got one song that I know.
Man.
Thotty, and the thing is, you know why I even know that song? Is because Cardi B was on a remix.
And that song came out like 6 years ago.
It's a before pandemic record.
Yeah.
I feel like
before we know everything about this dude's personal life. It's insane.
But I know, you know, this is a wild thing. Is like when you think about, like when we looked up to like LL and Big Daddy Kane, we were like, man, these guys are, Big Daddy Kane wears a suit just like my dad.
Man.
When they was 19 kids. Years old.
They was kids. I remember that slick line when LL Cool J said, I'm making more than your dad. Yeah. I was like, man, that's reckless. As a kid, I thought that was I'm like, wow, he makes more money than Pops? Because what is like, he doing?
The Fat Boys, by the time they were on the decline, they hadn't even turned 18 yet. This was actually a teen group.
And they was touring overseas at that time.
They was touring with running them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They was big in Europe.
They was big here. Like that's why I always say I hate these documentaries and we do all this reminiscing about hip hop and we don't bring up the Fat Boys. Because if Run DMC was one, it's not even like Fat Boys was two. They was 1A.
Come on,
they,
man.
Come on now. They
When you think about Crush Groove, I think about the Fat Boys.
Fat Boys had a movie that was relatively successful when Run DMC.
Nah, Disorderlies was successful.
When they tried to do Tougher Than Leather, people was like, ugh. Nah,
Disorderlies was successful.
Have you seen Tougher Than Leather?
Man, I probably seen it once, and that was
it. It's one of the worst movies ever produced. Yeah, it's awful. Like, it's one of those things, like, I remember, like, I wanted to go see it as a kid, and my parents, because it was rated R.
It was
and,
rated
like,
R.
My parents were, that was good parenting for them not to waste their time and money taking me to go see no Run DMC movie.
That Disorderlies, though.
No, Disorderlies was great.
That was a good movie.
Transition.
But I met Cool Keith at the Hi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
and like me and Spools went to go see him, and then like for whatever reason, we both loved this one Cool Keith song called "Girls in Jail," and it was like it's got a chorus. It's like my girl's in jail for life, never coming home. And then like I told Keith like, "Yo, I love that record," and he's like, Yeah, man, it's kind of actually a sad story behind that. And like, I didn't know what to do. I'd had a few drinks. I'm chilling. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, never coming home. Like, I didn't know what to say. I'm probably like, get this dude out of here. Like, I have made a complete ass of myself with some of my hip hop heroes. Dang, like the same thing when I met Pasta Noose from De La Soul, and I gave him a mixtape that had a diss on it for De La Soul.
You told, I heard you say something about that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, so.
You ever had a good interaction?
That's with grimy business.
Somebody behind the scenes?
Common. Common was, you know, because the thing is, like, Common was my guy. Or still is. And I didn't want to meet him because you don't want to meet
your heroes. You don't want to meet your heroes.
You don't want to meet your
heroes. Yeah.
And, like, I started, because I was on the OK Player boards very heavy. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was asking me, he's actually like, yo, you know, what do you think should be the next single off the album? And I said, because Testify hit. And I said, I think it was Faithful. Mm-hmm. I told him how much I really liked that song, you know, and he's like, yeah, we might do that as another single, but it never happened. And I said, yo, what's up with that song with D'Angelo that was produced by Dilla? Is that ever coming out? And he's like, oh, you know about that. I was like, they've been talking about that, you know, and it came out like on The Shining, like maybe a year and a half later.
Well, they released it twice.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, they did. They did. There's two different common versions.
Is that So Far Gone?
So Far Gone.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was actually cool when I met Common, but there have been other times I'm like, man, this dude, the rappers I met probably like, man, get this dude out of here.
Yeah. I stopped. I had really bad interaction. I'm not a good first impressions kind of guy.
Right.
So I just don't even try it anymore.
I'm the same way.
What was my man that used to live here? Oh, he used to be on Def Jux.
Ron Fest?
No.
C-Rays.
C-Rays.
I met him one time and I had like on a Dope Couture Eazy-E shirt and he looked at me and he was like, you know, Eazy-E was a snitch. And I'm like, I'm not having to send anything to this guy. I'm like, no, I didn't know that, bro. And he walks up to me and I thought he was going to punch me.
That was an Eazy-E shirt.
He's like, you know, he's a snitch, right? And I was like, man, I don't know nothing about that, bro.
First of all, at this point, Eazy-E been dead for how long?
Right. And you know me, man, I'm just out here chilling, bro. I was probably blazed or whatever. Like, and he was like, acting like he was going to punch me in the stomach. And he got like right to my stomach and he stopped. Like, if he would have punched me full strength, he probably would have killed me. Yeah. I was just like, I just can't crack the code of meeting new people.
So he used to wild out at coaches.
He did. He filmed a video there.
He used
and
to
I did a song with this dude.
He used to wow.
That's crazy.
Out.
I forgot about that.
You used to what? Coaches.
I did a song with this dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was on one of the gateways.
Yeah.
But whatever happened to him, man?
He's still out here.
He's
not here, but.
Well, yeah, not here, yeah. But.
I don't know, man. He was putting out a lot of. He's always. C-Rays was always the guy that was on the song with 900 features.
Yeah.
Like C-Rays Walls featuring 900
Everybody.
People.
Featuring Woo Gambinos.
Stop.
It's the same way. Like
I had that CD.
I don't approach famous people. At
I, don't
all.
I don't either, man.
Like at all. Like
I remember one time at Coach's. Matter of fact,
I did Big Crit once, but
what's name was here
at Coach's?
Yeah, with M80 Capadonna.
Yeah, he was drinking.
And M80
wine.
Invites us over to talk to him. Like he wanted to set us up with like an interview or something. And it's kind of like, I don't really know what to say to this dude right now.
Yeah.
It's just like meeting him, dapping him up blah, blah, blah. And then Maddie's like, yeah, I want to try to set y'all up to do an interview or something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I remember kind of just being like,
I'm pretty sure that I said we don't do interviews.
I don't think you did, but it was just, it was like,
I think we all
it was kind of awkward. A little bit.
He was drinking wine.
He was drinking. Yeah, he had a glass of wine.
Because I'm over there. He's like, yo, what up, man? And this, like, he knew me. He's like, you don't remember me? I was like, dog, I have never met Capadonna. I don't like, and plus, like, there are rappers I've met more than once, and I never expect them to remember. I've met Fonte probably 4 or 5 times on different, and I know he doesn't know who I am. Yeah. He meets people all the time, so that's fine. So for Capadan, I don't know who he thought I
Capadonna,
was. Capadonna.
He said Capadan.
Capadan.
He's like Capadonna.
Lieutenant Dan. Yeah. So I don't know who Capadonna thought I was. But
so he really didn't know you.
No.
Okay.
But he was like, "Come on, man, you don't remember me?" I was like, "Sir, I've never met you."
Yeah. That's funny because my man M80 introduced me to Killer Priest. who was super cool.
Right.
He just like, man, this is my guy, Jay Brooks. I came up, shook his hand. He's like, oh, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was probably the only good interaction I've ever had with somebody. Shout out to M80, who just will randomly have, like, your heroes just hanging out with him. You know what I mean? Like, meeting Killer Priest. That was super cool.
I'll never forget. I went to a Planet Asia show.
He was cool.
On the north side. And he was his own
DJ.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He was like rapping in the front and there was nobody DJing. So he would walk all the way to the back and do his own drops with the turntable stuff. And there's like nobody there. But yeah, he was cool. Yeah.
Some of these dudes are super cool.
I think that was like a Rusty album release party or something.
It was something. I don't remember. Razzcast was super cool.
Yeah.
No, he was walking around El Trees. Yeah, walking around El Trees. Yeah.
Craig G was cool.
Craig G was cool too. Yeah.
Guy from the Beat Miners.
Bushwick Bill was cool when he walked into the Casbah
and drank
his liquor, and then it was so weird, man. Just a random night.
Who's this?
Bushwick Bill just comes to the Casbah. He comes right next to me. I'm like, man, this is Bushwick Bill, dude. He drinks his liquor. He looks at me and starts smiling, laughing. Turns around, throws his bottle in the trash, and walks up the stairs.
No, that night I remember because he came in and I was like, man, who's this Bushwick Bill looking?
Yeah, we did say that. I'm like, man, that is Bushwick Bill.
It was Bushwick Bill. And he came and ran up on me and grabbed the microphone and was like, you know, ladies, you don't have to get low. I'm already short, which I thought was hilarious.
Yes.
And then like, and once again, it wasn't just liquor. He had a bottle of champagne. Mind you,
that's what it was.
The Casbah. I don't even know where he would get some champagne.
He walked in with that.
Okay. Well, there you go.
When you're Bushwick Bill, you could do things like that.
Yeah.
And it was like the week after when the Super Bowl was here.
Oh.
And man. The crazy thing is like.
He just stuck around, huh?
There are people trying to still get money.
Well, he had people here, though, because I know a few people that he actually worked with.
Okay.
Prior to that. Like, he would be over at my brother's in-law's house just on the random sometimes back in the day.
I will say Black Milk was super cool.
No, he was.
Black Milk was super cool.
At the Jazz Kitchen, he was cool.
Odyssey was super cool.
Pharoah Monch was cool.
Moonchild, they were super chill, super cool. Pharoah Monch, yeah.
It was wild because I didn't realize his like his manager or road manager. It was, remember in House Party 2, the white dude, Jamal?
Yeah.
That's his manager.
From the Poor Righteous Teachers.
No, not poor. Young black teenagers.
Yeah.
Who was this DJ? Was that Boogie Blind?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was super cool.
We still follow each other on socials. Yeah.
I think the coolest famous person I ever met, though, was Jalen Rose.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I met him the night he got drafted, which the draft was here. I think I might have been like 14, 15 years old. And he was in Don Shula's eating. And me and my cousin, my little brother, was outside. He told us to come in to his table and chopped it up with his night he got drafted.
Nice.
Never forget that.
Nice. No, Jake won. It was very cool. He had been here a couple times with Freeway.
We were able to interview him in
Terra Barbershop on the west side.
I was there.
I see all the people doing like shows in barbershops now. I was like, man. I was doing them interviews.
Man, it kind of sucks to be ahead of the curve, man.
Yeah.
It does.
You kind of suffer from that a lot.
That footage is somewhere on YouTube.
Yeah, it's my footage.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I literally took that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the whole thing's on there because I think Alpha was there too. Shouts to...
Yep.
Yep,
definitely.
Gentleman Alphonse or whatever he goes by now.
Oh.
Yeah. And shout out to... this is the craziest thing. Jake Ones, like, is, you know, the guy he kind of... did business with. His name is Jay Moore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jay Moore, said Jay Moore. I say, you know, when you hear, you just, you Jay
Seattle,
Moore.
Seattle Jay Moore.
You know, when I come to Seattle, you know, I'll be Jay Moore, Indianapolis or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He passed away, right?
He passed away. And you know what the crazy thing is? Like, I was seeing like hashtag RIP Jay Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of messed with me a little bit, especially when I found out we had the same birthday.
Mm. That's crazy.
Yeah. So life is crazy like that.
Hey, B. Holcomb said he met Garfield at Toys R Us one. And that's solid.
Yeah.
Hey, man, your daughter's going to be, you know, in 30, 40 years, she'll be like, yeah, I met Peppa Pig at an Indians game.
Yeah.
That's right. When they bring all them characters out at the game.
I met a fake-ass RoboCop at a car show. Remember when Where the Wheels used to come here?
No.
I imagine how terrible that knockoff RoboCop.
Man, I wanted to go see RoboCop. He was going to be at Where the Wheels. We got there. I see this RoboCop. I'm like, his suit is not even shiny. It was like them fake muscles. It was all softened. an ish.
Cloth.
It was cloth. His helmet was cloth. I'm like, man, that's not RoboCop. There's no shine to that dude at all.
Just like, I beat the shit this RoboCop.
Man, get him out of here. That RoboCop pissed me off.
RoboCop was definitely not for the kids.
Hold on. No,
he wasn't.
Even though they made a cartoon and action figure, I was like, this is a rated R movie.
Man, that's one of the scariest things I ever seen when the TT, whatever it was called, came in that boardroom and lit everybody up.
And the thing is, that's the edited version. Like, they put out an unrated version of RoboCop on Blu-ray a few years ago.
Man, listen.
RoboCop was, because they said, like, basically they couldn't get an R rating from the first original cut.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they had to go back and cut a lot of the violence out. Man. And then they put out it on, because they didn't want to put it out as X.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was a thing still then.
Look, my brother in here, he can contest to that, that whack-ass RoboCop that we had to meet.
Never forget the trauma.
I was like, man, that ain't RoboCop. We should have jumped him, is what we probably should.
I met the Black Power Ranger. He came to Tiki Bob's one night.
I remember that.
He was just in there.
He was cleaning up, wasn't he?
Because at first I thought, man, who's this little dude? He about to come up and buy, because DJ Gabby Love, shout out to her, was DJing. And there's always some random dude come up there trying to bother her. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then it was like, oh, snap. It's the Black Power, like the original Black Power Ranger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, He was partying in Indianapolis.
It's morphin' time. He didn't say that when he got
He didn't say that. I'd be like, come on, dog. But he was actually pretty cool. Shout out to Walter Jones.
Are we still doing this? Because I got one that's really crazy. Shout out to my guy, B-Tan, man. Rest in peace, B-Tan. We walking down the street on Broad Ripple Avenue, and he bumps into the subway guy.
Jared?
Yo, bumps into the subway guy, and in true B-10 fashion, starts to beef with him. talking crazy to him.
Dang.
Like, he had two girls with him too, I think, man. But he bumped into him and started talking. Man, bro.
I seen Mark Summers, the host of Double Dare in Broad Ripple one time. I also ran into the greatest rapper of all time.
Dylon?
Down Dylon.
Oh, I was
downtown.
Just kidding. You really ran into him?
I ran into Dylon downtown during Black Expo. We was outside and this dude walks past me. I'm like, man, that's Dylon. I said his name five times. White turned around and came back. He was like, respect. Dabbed me up and went on about his business.
Similar to the Booty Warrior story.
Oh, the same day though.
Yo, yeah.
Across the street, John Legend was in town as well. He's trying to get into the club. They would not let John Legend in the club because of the shoes he had on. Typical Indianapolis
for Indianapolis, you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, like, we always got to, because now he's back in the news a little bit because people are interviewing him. But yeah, Felice Johnson, the Booty Warrior, did stop by Coach's one night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got some stories.
I remember that.
Yeah. I got some pictures.
I was outside. I was literally outside for that.
Yeah, I think I kind of set that off.
Because he was like, Fleece.
Yeah, that was bad.
He was like, is that the Booty Warrior?
I was like, man, that's Fleece Johnson. I actually didn't scream his name.
It was Brooks.
It's Brooks. I was like, man, that is. I was like,
you
man,
didn't
that's
refer
Fleece.
To him as the Booty Warrior.
I shot him out on the mic, but I did not call him the Booty Warrior.
I was like, man, that's Fleece, man. They was like, that's not Fleece.
He was like, Fleece.
He said, Fleece. And he turned around. He's like, why y'all do me like that, man?
And the thing is,
I'm like, that's not you. He's like, I'm Fleece. He showed me his ID.
And the thing is, he had on like the jail outfit. He had on the hat that, like, basically
it was brown, wasn't it?
Yeah, they made it like same hat that they made him had it on in the fleet in the Boondocks.
And he tried to say he came up with this story that they lied on him, and
you can't lie about that.
You literally, it came out of your mouth, dude, that you was you was about that life.
It was really good editing.
Like, I probably shouldn't be talking to you right now.
What was he in the news for recently? Wasn't he in the news for something?
I remember
he's been doing interviews with
Vlad
Anton
TV?
Daniels and
word.
Yeah. And like, he been talked about how, like, even though he's married now, he still craves booty.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was like, man, I probably shouldn't even be talking to you, Fleece. You own one.
I'm too frail to be talking to you, brother.
Nah, listen.
No, but then, like, you talk to people who was like, oh, because, like, he you know, when the concerts come to town and they put up all the stages and stuff. Like, he was working on those crews, like Desi Dez. I was like, oh yeah, he was a real nice guy. And like, you know, he's a hard worker and all this, and apparently he's got his life together, but he still craves booty.
Yeah. It's what he desires.
Different strokes for different folks.
Now, I don't know if I'd use that term when we talking about the
booty
boy.
That's why I used it.
He said he was going to sue everybody. He was going to sue the Boondocks and the CNBC people. I'm like, yeah.
He might have a case. He might have something for like the boon. When you actually put somebody in, it's like
he called himself the booty warrior.
Yeah, but that's an epic episode. Well, then they're stealing his intellectual property.
Well,
are you in jail and they come to film you? Is that really your intellectual property?
Things might change when you're in prison. I don't know. I guess I gotta look up those laws.
Yeah, I mean,
we're still trying to figure out how we can get paid off of how we was done. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You know, that's
kind of crazy, man. They jacking your show and putting it on clips and stuff like that, man. Like, do you have a case for that?
I don't really know. Like, part of me is like, when I sit down and think about it, it's like, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, but I feel like it would be such a hassle. And the only part about it that I think is really kind of messed up is when they don't credit us at all, mm-hmm. or when they credit us wrong. Mm-hmm. Those are the only things that I'm really kind of worried.
Man, just cut my guys in. Yo, look at...
Or we can just get a deal. Just give us a deal.
Cut my guys in. You're already stealing their clips. You're putting them on Netflix, man. Cut my guys in.
And HBO.
Yeah.
And HBO.
Because the thing is, even with the... You know, someone said, yo, are you going to take some sort of action? I said... How would that look as a group of dudes that decide, you know, we're going to sue the female producers of a documentary about women in hip hop being exploited? And we come,
hey man, I'll
but
sue
at the same time,
them.
We're being exploited.
Yeah. Hey, bug all of them for that.
I mean,
I'm here to represent with you when I got to and stand on the picket line with you as well. But, I got to get paid too.
Yeah. So,
just, you know, credit us correctly. So, like I said, I literally got to the point where, we were, and then I was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch the rest of this. I haven't watched the rest of the documentary.
I haven't done it on either of them. I literally watched the HBO one up until that point, and then I just turned it off. I was like, oh. I wasn't even upset at you. No. I mean, it was just kind of like, oh, it happened again.
Yeah.
So, well, Pat McAfee.
We getting looks out here, son.
Somebody out here.
Hey, do it for the brand, man. We for it. Let's do it for the brand.
Let's do the Pat McAfee hip hop wing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? With the new old heads, man.
I got ideas.
Somebody, whoever know Pat, man, tell him to holler at your boy.
Please.
Make something happen.
Well, I guess it's about 11 o'clock, so shouts to everybody that's still in the chat. I think that's going to wrap up episode 358.
Shots. Yes, sir.
Special thanks for... Sir Brookins for coming back on the show as always and talking with us.
Indeed.
Until next time, we will see y'all next week.
Hey, become a Patreon.
Yeah, do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Please do that. Indeed. Yes.
So that we can spend some advertising money.
Yeah. So. Become a Patreon. You know, we'll hook you up with some hats and some vinyl.
Hats, vinyl, stickers, all that stuff.
Get involved.
So, but yeah, do it. All right. See
y'all. I might actually be keeping this one.